you want to open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, letter to the Ephesian church, I want to read a passage there. This morning, just want to share a brief recap of the past week and use that as a backdrop of just a really brief reflection and meditation on this passage from Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse number 11. We had a fantastic week at the 12th annual Central Ohio Work Camp. And I want to talk a little bit about what we did last week. It was one of those weeks where the spiritual implications of what took place was so overwhelming. I mean, I really feel like crying right now because I'm so overwhelmed with emotion on how this came together in the midst of a great challenge. And so I want to share that in a way, hopefully, that would be helpful to us as a church and as a body. So Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse number 11. It says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, you can click, I think there's a scripture up here. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 11. Close to 100 preteens and teenagers, about 50 adults, another 75 to 100 volunteers throughout the week, nearly 300 gallons of paint, close to 1,000 turkey, ham, and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, 150 Chick-fil-A sandwiches, 50 tubes of caulk, over 300 rollers, paintbrushes, scrapers, spread out across 12 houses, close to 2,000 miles driven, numerous new friendships and bonds between teenagers and adults, 12 happy homeowners who at one point didn't know how they were going to get their houses painted, and they needed to get their houses painted, some because they were going to be fined in excess of $1,000, some $500 a month until they got their houses painted. And they couldn't get it painted because they couldn't afford to get it painted. If they could afford to get it painted, they wouldn't have to pay those fines if they could. But somehow, God made our paths intersect. And that's was Central Ohio Work Camp version 12.0. We're still in the process of coming up with some before and after pictures, and probably next week we'll have a video to show that we'll have all our completed projects. Because of the mass or the magnitude of this project, we just didn't have enough time over the past couple of days to get a lot of before and after pictures. But I got some. So I want to show you a couple. Is that all right? That's just a picture of Eric sleeping. Go to the next one. Nope, that's just a picture of Perry sleeping. Go to the next one. That's another picture of Perry sleeping. Go to the next one. All right, here we go. This was a house over in the Hilltop area, the west side I believe Jesse Brown was on this house, Josh Berry was on this house, Isabella Yeager was on this house, and here's the completed project next. There you go. So that was pretty good. All right, go to the next one. Yeah. This was actually a church member from the Spring Road Church of Christ that needed some help. And so go to the next one. Didn't get a good picture, but you can see nice bright blue and really good. Go to the next one. This house is northeast Columbus. This is Woodland Avenue. This is the house, I believe, that Rebecca Johnson led. She was the team lead on this house. So go to the next one. You really can't tell, but it's purple. It's kind of light purple and dark purple. That came out really cool. Go to the next one. All right. We rank our houses by in terms of difficulty. So house number one is the most difficult, two, so forth and so on. This started out when we were putting this project together as house number three, but it made its way up to two. And after reconsidering, this should have been house number one. It's right on the edge of German Village, a really older house. It's stone. You know, you can't just get a roller and roll on paint. You have to take a paintbrush and you've got to dab every single inch of this house. And Thursday morning when we started, we had no paint on this house. And I said to myself, there's no way we're going to finish. This is one of those years we're going to have to go back. I'm going to have to get up in church and say, hey, church, can y'all come help me finish this house, come paint this house? But 4:30 on Friday, they finished the house, and we got this. And so you'll see some more. We had 12 houses, and so we want to, you know, talk about how a lot of this came together. And so I'll show you a video next week with some pictures of kids working and some kids not working, and you'll see. Central Ohio Work Camp started out. It was a dream. Friend of mine, Adam Metz, called me. He's a minister at the Alum Creek Church of Christ. He called me and a friend of ours, Nate Houghton, and we met together over lunch and said, you know, hey, when we were in Nashville, we did this thing where we went around and painted houses. And why don't we come together? And why don't we do something similar here in Central Ohio? And so what we did, we talked about it, we did some planning, and we said, let's get as many kids as we can get from our churches, and let's do something. I believe the first year I brought two or three kids, I believe, and Adam brought about four or five or six, and Nate brought about four or five, and I think total with adults, we had 19 people. We painted one house in Delaware. We painted the eaves of another house in Delaware, Worthington area, and we did some yard work at a couple of properties, and that was Central Ohio Work Camp version one in 2005. The next year, I believe we painted two houses or three houses, maybe did two houses, and then we did some multiple projects. And then that next year we added another house, and it seemed like every year we just continued to add another house. It started out with just three churches. It was Reynoldsburg Church of Christ, it was Alum Creek Church of Christ, and it was the Heil Road Church of Christ in Worcester, Ohio. And then Nate Houghton moved to Marysville. He became the youth minister at the Marysville Church of Christ. And so we added the Marysville group, and then it was the Marysville Church. And it was still Ohio Road, was still coming down. We still had Alum Creek and Reynoldsburg. And all four churches decided to, you know, just contribute an amount of money that we thought could get it done. Kids have to pay to come to this camp. You know, I think at the time it was about $100. Now it's up to 150. Expenses have gone up. We used to stay at Ohio Wesleyan for the first few years, and we began to outgrow, and our projects began to move southern into the greater Columbus area. And we found ourselves doing a bunch of houses in the Linden area. Now we're over by a children's hospital, Hilltop, and we're getting all over the city now. And then this year, we're up to 12 houses, and we have the Reynoldsburg Church involved. We have some folks from Marysville. We have some folks from Cincinnati. We have some folks from Kokomo, Indiana. We have folks from all other. We have kids that live in the Westerville community that aren't a part of any church that are now participating in this. We anticipate next year having kids that have no affiliation with churches that want to get involved. There are parents who want their children to experience this camp. Now, that's just churches coming together. But there's no way that we would be able to do what we did this year or any year if not for the generous contributions of companies like Worcester. How many people here have gone to Home Depot and bought paintbrushes, Worcester paintbrushes? Worcester, excuse me. There's a connection in Worcester where the company up there donates paintbrushes and paint rollers and paint trays and paint sticks. And every year they tell us, just let us know what you need and we will give that to you. There's a company that told us that anytime you need caulk, we will give you all the caulk that you need. Of course, there's just a partnership that you have with the university, Otterbein University and Ohio Wesleyan before, who allowed us to come into their dormitories with paint supplies and paintbrushes and buckets and kids full of paint. They got more paint on themselves than they did on the houses, but they let us stay in their dormitories. I can go on and on about, you know, all the different places. Spring Road, even though they didn't have kids that came to the camp, Spring Road, they provided a meal for us. They let us use their two vans to transport kids around. We had several financial challenges this year. Reynoldsburg typically is a church that offers the most cash for this project, but this year we just weren't able to do what we've done in the past. And so we had several challenges. One of our challenges was to pay for dinner on Monday night. We had no clue what we were going to do on Monday night. I thought that in addition to all the duties that I had during the week, I thought I was going to have to come home and fire up my grill and cook some pulled pork for everyone just to keep the expenses low. But something happened. There's a Lutheran church down the street that I'm friends with the pastor, and he heard about our project. And he says, you know what? I'm going to take this to our board and see if they can do something. And we get a call last week that they donated $200 to Central Ohio Work Camp to help pay for dinner. And then there's a kid from the community in Westerville, and her aunt lives in Washington, D.C., and she heard about what was going on. She says, man, I really like to do something. Is there anything that I can do? He said, well, you know what? Excuse me. Whoa, that was good. I'd really like to do something for you, but, you know, what can I do? I said, man, we're really having a challenge, you know, paying for dinner on Monday. She said, okay, here. She gave us $500. And then last Sunday, there was a member at Adams Church that said, hey, I really like to do something, want to donate some money. Is there anything we can help you with? He said, well, we're really having a challenge for dinner on Monday. If you want to donate to that. And they said, okay, yeah, we'll give you $300. We had Chick-fil-A on Monday night. Does anyone want to guess how much the bill came up to? $1,000. We couldn't do what we have done if not for the partnerships. And then this year, as we worked with this organization called Rebuilding Together, overall near the Fifth Avenue, Cassidy area, there's an organization there that if you live in Franklin County, you can go to this library, this tool library, and you can borrow anything. You can borrow ladders, you can borrow lawnmowers, you can borrow tillers, you can borrow any type of tool that you need, because they believe in beautifying neighborhoods, and they know that there are a lot of people who don't have some of the things that we often take for granted. You know, most of us have a lawnmower. There are a lot of people who just can't afford a lawnmower, so they go there, you know, every week, and they borrow a lawnmower, and they borrow these different tools, and this organization, they're all over Columbus trying to help out in different communities and trying to beautify neighborhoods, and they're doing it together. Well, we go to them, and that's where we got all of our ladders, some over 80 ladders. Yesterday, after work camp and all the houses were painted, you know, Adam and I had to go to all these different sites and collect all these ladders, 32-foot ladders, 24-foot ladders, you know, step ladders full of paint. And we took these ladders back to this organization. But in talking with this organization, they let us know that they were in contact with the environmental courts of Franklin County. These are the courts that handle the cases when people get arrested for doing graffiti and defacing property and doing things. And instead of sending these people, young people to jail, they can actually work and do things in the community to work off their sentence when they're found guilty of these charges. Well, we found out that they had received the grant and they had decided, now here we are with a challenge. How are we going to pay for paint for 12 houses? You know, that's at least $5,000, $6,000. And here the environmental court says, we'll pay your paint bill. They paid our entire paint bill. The judge and one of his associates came and drove around and visited some of the sites. And the site you saw, the yellow to the blue house, that house had a backyard that was full of trash. And we were wondering how we were going to get rid of that. And the judge says, hey, we're going to send a dumpster down here and we'll pay for the dumpster. And we want to talk to you guys about formulating a partnership because we believe in what you are doing. You're doing something that we've not seen in the greater Columbus area, and we want to support it, and we want to find revenue streams to help support this project together. Rebuilding together. The theme of the camp last week was this idea of being woven together. And on Sunday night, Justin and Joy led the teens in some activities, and then we gathered together for our opening worship time. And Justin got up and he spoke from 1 Corinthians 12 about the body and working together and woven. And we challenged kids to get to know people that you didn't know. You know, a lot of times we'll go to these events and go to camps and kids just hang around, you know, only with their friends, the people that they know. But what we do during work camp is we purposely mix kids up into different crews. And on Monday morning, they're all upset. I want to be in a crew with my bestie, my all that. And by the end of the week, they're exchanging phone numbers and, oh, I can't wait to see you again. And they have all these new friends. Perry Brown, who had a really challenging job this year because usually we have two adults per crew, but Perry had a crew all by himself, and he's also blessed with a crew that had four, I'm going to call them the divas. They were girls who worked real hard from you know 9 to 12, but after 1 o'clock, you know, the diva came out in them, and they were four divas that didn't know each other prior to the week, but by the end of the week they were inseparable. There was something going on where they were woven together and they were embracing this understanding that in order to get these projects done, we have to work together. And so we ended that night of worship celebrating communion together, because as we all go to different churches, we don't have that opportunity to celebrate communion together. And so we celebrated that as a way to say that the only way that we could get this done is if we do it in a spirit of togetherness. It was Wednesday night, I believe it was, and a group from Kokomo selected a teenager to come up and to speak to the group. And he spoke in front of us, and not coordinating with Justin and not coordinating with me, he got up and he spoke to the group about being a body and working together. And this understanding that each one of us come with a different skill set and a different you know, talent. And there may be some people who could brush really good. And there may be some people who can do trim really good. There may be some people who are really strong and they can hold and keep ladders sturdy. And there's some other people that can move around and do some things. And what he said is that we all need to recognize what we do well, and we need to do that, and we need to work together so that we can get these jobs done. Together. There's a reason that this text in Ephesians on the tail end of last week is really speaking to me right now. It's because this idea of rebuilding or beautifying other people's homes, I believe that it has some spiritual implications. I believe that it has some spiritual implications for us as a church body. I believe it has some spiritual implications for us as individuals. If we want to rebuild, if we want renewal, if we want revival, if we want to do what God has called us to do in the Reynoldsburg community, Greater Columbus area, in the United States, in the world, if we're going to do this, it's not going to be because there's someone in here that has this great superpower and is able to do it by themselves. It's not going to be because there's just someone in here that is so specially and gifted and talented, and they can do all these great things by themselves. If we're going to do what God has called us to do, the only way we're going to rebuild is together. Together. There were just things that I saw last week that I know I couldn't do. Olivia Jordan, for example. Olivia Jordan spent most of her week on that blue house on a very, very tall ladder doing some very, very hard trim. Again, this is dabbing. This isn't Karate Kid, all right? It was none of that. It was just all dabs. And here's Olivia up on this ladder, and her legs were so burnt. And she comes down and she takes a roll of paper towels and wraps it around her legs and takes some painter's tape and she paints the paper towels. It was crazy, like RoboCop or something. And she wraps it around her legs, and you would think, she said, man, I'm just too burnt. I'm not getting back up on that ladder. But she wrapped those paper towels around her legs so that she can go back up on that ladder and finish that. On Friday, there was this dude, Caleb Newhouse from Cincinnati, who climbed up a 32-foot ladder and got on this roof. Oh, and I don't know what that roof looked like, but he gets up on that roof and he spent the entire day on his stomach looking over and painting the trim. Now, I got some skills and I got some talents, but you ain't gonna catch me on nobody's roof painting. At about 2:30, it started pouring on Friday. We didn't think we were gonna finish. And it wasn't like Caleb could say, oh, I'll just come down off the roof. No. He stays up on the roof, he waits it out, and then he finishes painting. But while he was doing that, there were people who were down on the ground who were dabbing, and they were doing all the intricate work, and they were doing the trim, and they were cleaning up, and they were clearing out trash, and they were doing all these things. We were doing it together. And there was this moment where everyone came down off of all of the ladders, and we collapsed all the ladders, and we gathered all the ladders and put them to the side, and we cleaned out all the trash, and we got the shop back, and we cleaned up all the paint chips, and we just sat back and looked at what we all did together. There's some spiritual implications here, church, that if we would dare say that we want to be the church that God has called us to be, the only way we're going to do it is together. Even when it comes to our own personal spiritual lives, there's some things that we have in our lives. I've got some mess in my life. I got some things in my life that I got to get cleaned up. There's some things in my life in need of renewal. There's some things in my life that's in need of being rebuilt. Can't do it by myself. I have to do it together. I need you to help me. That means I got to tell you what's going on. That means I got to open up. That means I got to be vulnerable. That means I got to be honest with myself. That means I got to be honest with you. But we need to do it together. Because what happens when we do things together? What we've done this past week is just throw some paint on some houses. But more than that, as we've beautified some houses, we've beautified the stories of some homeowners. Over in Hilltop, the house that we did, it's right down the street from a house that we did last year. If you're ever on South Oakley, off of Sullivan Avenue, down and on the west side, if you're driving down South Oakley, I guarantee if you're driving down a street, you will know the house that we painted. It is a bright purple. It is the brightest purple that you will ever see. I remember driving down Oakley Street thinking to myself, I know we did a house here last year. Oh, there it is. The reaction I have is the reaction that many people have when they drive down Oakley Street. They're driving and you see this big, bright purple house and they're like, whoa. The homeowners, Barbara, Dennis Schilling. Dennis Schilling in 2013 was in a very, very bad car accident, almost killed him. They didn't think he was going to survive. He did survive. He walks with an incredible limp, really hard for him to get around. He's in a lot of pain. But to hear him tell the story of how, you know, God kept him alive for some reason. And I remember when we were picking out the colors, we let homeowners pick out their colors. Now, you know, I sometimes hide the colors on some of the color wheels. Say, yeah, you got a choice between these colors. But that day I forgot. And Barbara said, this purple, that's the color I want. And I remember watching the husband sit there like, anything but purple, anything but purple, anything but purple. I stopped by there the other day. Say, hey, man, just checking in, man. Your house still looking good. He says, you know what, man? I remember when my wife picked that purple color, and I said, oh, I do not want this purple color. And after it was painted, you know, it looked good, and I was just so proud of the kids and everything that went down. I went in the house, and I started studying my Bible. And I started studying the significance of the color purple in Scripture. He said, I looked it up, and it represents royalty, and it represents majesty, and represents kingship, and represents all these beautiful and magnificent and, you know, powerful qualities of God. And then the trim is white. It's a bright white, and he said it represents purity, and it represents refreshing, and it represents clean, and then the foundation is gray, and he said he studied foundation and that you have to build upon this foundation that's built in God's majesty and power. And he goes on. He says, you know what? There are a lot of people who walk down the street, and they say, whoa, your house is so purple. And he says, let me tell you why it's purple. And he said he has had numerous conversations with people about God because they're interested about the color of his house. He started a Facebook page where he's trying to get people, he's praying for people, and his house is now a tool for him for ministry. Because we worked together. Perry made this point the other night that many of these homeowners have been praying for a solution. And in many ways, we represented the answer to their prayers. And we did it together. I think Ephesians is important for us to behold this morning, because it was Christ who called some to be apostles, or some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be teachers, so that they would work together. And I know I've done this before, but I have to ask this question for all of you individually, and we have to ask this question for this church. What has God called you to be? Ponder on that for a moment. Ponder on that for the next week. Ponder on that for the next month. Because God has indeed individually called all of us to something. But he didn't call us to something to go on our own and be lone rangers and superheroes to do things on our own. He called us to do that together. But then there's a larger question that we ask, is what is God calling us as a body to be? And what is God calling that church to be? And what is God calling that church to be? And how can we work together? What if every church in this city, regardless of affiliation, decided to just paint one house Just one, not 12. Just one. You know how many houses that would be? Do you know what we could do to our communities? What if one church, half the churches painted one house, half the churches demolished garages that are getting cited for homeowners and they can't afford to tear the garages down? Just one church said, you know what? We'll come in there, we'll demolish that garage for you, and we'll get it hauled away for you. Just one church. Not asking you to do 10, 15. What could we do in our world if we stopped looking inward all the time? We started looking outward. Started asking, how can we do these things together? I want personal renewal. I want church renewal. I want personal revival. I want church revival. And I don't know that I know how to get there. I don't know if I know all the answers. I'm just not that smart. But I do know this. The only way it's going to take place, the only way it's going to take place, is if we do it. What's the magic word, church? Let's pray. God, we thank you for your love, and we thank you for the story that you wrote last week in the lives of so many young people, so many older people, so many community members. God, there is something happening with this ministry that I'm not sure that we dreamed it initially. We just wanted to paint a house or two. Never imagined that this is where we would be. Never imagined that there would be community organizations, government agencies that are seeking ways to fuel this ministry and thrust it forward into the future. We never would have imagined that, but we understand that you're a God that do things beyond our imagination. So thank you for giving us a reason to sing a new song. Thank you for giving us another reason to give you praise. Thank you for giving us another reason to consider what we could do if we would consider our calling and do things together. Father, I thank you for keeping us safe. Because God, we're not ignorant that there were at least two shootings that were near our job sites. But you kept us safe. You kept us protected. And Father, in the midst of violence, you allowed us to share a message of peace. So God, I pray that the paint that we put on those houses are not just physical representations of beauty, but I pray that the paint that we put on those houses is a declaration of shalom. It's a declaration of peace and love. God, I thank you so much for the individuals in here that helped out, that served as crew leaders, that packed lunches, that delivered supplies, that prayed, that gave money. God, I thank you so much for blessing us with a picture of togetherness. And God, I pray that we would take a snapshot of this, and we will look to it as we go forward into the future to be the church that you have called us to be a movement, not just a collection of people just doing some stuff, but a movement prepared to change the world. Thank you for blessing us and showing up in such a powerful way. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you again for all of you who participated, again, as crew leaders, for giving, for praying. You need to talk to these kids who participated. Don't just talk to your own kid, but talk to these other kids, the kids that are not your own. Just ask them about their projects, and you'd be pleased to hear children. You'll be pleased to hear them not only tell you what they did, but they'll tell you about their homeowner. They'll tell you about the experience, and I dare you not to be inspired by what you hear. You will be inspired. Look, Central Ohio Work Camp 13 is, about 350 some days away. Maybe you want to consider being a part of it in a deeper way, volunteering as a crew leader or as a driver, supply deliverer. I know that some of you have talked about getting involved in some fundraising. I hate fundraising. I hate asking for money. But apparently some of you are good at it. So, hey, you can do that. But in any event, let's keep this ministry and in all ministries in prayer as we seek to make a difference. As a church, if there's something that we can do for you, praying for you, if there's a story you want to share, there's a testimony you want to give, if there's a concern you want us to be involved with, if there's something you are dealing with personally right now, and you've been saying, I'm gonna get through it, I'm gonna do it myself, I got it handled, and you know that you're fooling yourself by saying that, I want to encourage you to allow us to struggle with you, and let's work on it together. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, you want to participate in the ministry of baptism, we can do that as well. So let's stand and let's sing this song.